Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Football Friday, Black Friday edition of In the Loop. We in here, Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. Figgy Fig in the building with you. Best in the world at what he do. Ryan Rocket also joining us on the Black Friday edition of In the Loop. The Texans are playing on Sunday. They got a chance to win their second straight game. We talked a lot about the rebuild, patience. Does it make sense? Tanking, does that make sense? The ethos behind all of that. And I just want to point out that the Texans do actually do a thing well. And I know I've been teasing this the last couple of segments. I'm going to tell y'all what that is. If y'all been watching the games, you know what it is. And I feel like I owe a little bit of an apology. Maybe not just me either. Maybe most of the pundits here in Houston sports talk, media, radio, all of that. The Lovie Smith hire, rolled my eyes a little bit when that happened, because it's like, man, what is this? Is this the early 2000s? You know, like I did not know where we were going with that, because I honestly thought that Lovie Smith's career went to Illinois to die. You know, it felt that way. And then lo and behold, that's the guy that they hire. And we're like, okay, runs a Tampa 2 zone defense. Like, what is that? Antiquated? Can that work in today's NFL? And the answer, I think, was a resounding no for most people. But I would like to point out that the Texans were horrible, horrible taking the ball away last year. I think they only had 9 on the year. That was the worst since, like, I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but like since the 80s, I want to say. One of the worst outputs from a defense or from a team taking the ball away from the other team that we've ever seen. And you can't say that about this team anymore. Mm-hmm. You cannot say that about the 2021 version of the Texans, the Lovie Smith defensive-led Texans, because they do actually take the ball away. And I think that was – not I think. It clearly was the turning point of – the game against the Titans, because, like, if we're honest about it, if we're real about it, they won the game. We took the win. I told y'all the vibes are way better when the team is winning, but they only won because they was taking the ball away. Like, yeah. they got outgained. I want to say that they were outgained like 400 some yards to 190 some yards. Like,
the offense wasn't good at all.
The offense wasn't good at all. So I'm looking at Lovie Smith as a defensive coordinator and thinking, okay, some of this stuff is fluky, but also there is, like, after a while, once you get a large enough sample size, you do start to kind of buy into what you're seeing. Like, you are developing patterns. And I think that they've clearly done that. Like, there is a mentality of, hey, we're going to go take the ball away. Not that they're acknowledging publicly that their offense isn't any good, but when the offense is on the field, where's the defense? On the sideline watching it just like the rest of us, right?
We just got to do better, man. Yeah. We just got to do better.
And they see it even up close. They know football better than we do, obviously.
Yeah. They actually said it, too. I think it was after the Miami loss
where they had, I think they had like 5 or 6 takeaways.
Yeah.
And one of the players, I think it was Malik Collins. I think it was, yeah, he said, we got to take the ball away more.
Yeah.
And then that's crazy because you got 5 takeaways and you still lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so it's like, not just do we need to win the turnover battle, we got to win it even more. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Figgy, because one of the interesting things to me about this team, or what I think became clear to me as I was thinking about this or sort of reevaluating Lovie Smith, I do think I kind of better understand what this team was supposed to be. Like, they did a lot of things that didn't make sense. 5 running backs. Like, how you have 5 running backs and ain't none of them good? How does that happen? And then the best one you just give away. They did that.
Yeah.
So, like, that never really made sense. I tried to make it make sense. I was like, okay, Phillip Lindsay, he's young enough. Maybe that's going to be your lead back. Turned out to be your worst. your very worst back. Worse than David Johnson, contrary to what anybody wants to tell you. Like, everybody wants David Johnson gone. Thought that was kind of weird. Like, nobody's defending David Johnson around here, but I thought it was weird that Phillip Lindsay was by far and clearly your worst running back. They cut him, and then everybody was like, well, what about David Johnson? You mean, what about the dude that was the worst? They got rid of the guy that was the worst. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it did seem clear to me that part of the strategy was going to be, and this is, I think, part of also why David Culley uses turnovers and penalties as a crutch whenever he talks to the public, because I honestly believe that this team thought that its route to success was simply winning the turnover margin.
So do you think this changed? Because going in, I'm sure they assumed they were going to have Deshaun Watson this year. So do you think they expected the offense to be this anemic going in? Or
I don't know. See, that's a whole nother thing, because I don't know at what point it became real to them that they would not have Deshaun Watson.
Fair enough.
Because I think when everybody got hired, that was still the hope and the expectation that they would, you know, meet with their disgruntled star, and that cooler heads would prevail, and that things would calm down eventually. Kind of like how they did elsewhere with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Those were also disgruntled. Now, I don't think there's nearly the level of dysfunction going on in those places that's happening here, but those were also quarterbacks said to be possibly wanting to be traded, or at least not wanting to go back to their team. Like Aaron Rodgers, apparently, all of them got their money. Talking about retiring, going to go host Jeopardy. I don't know how he was going to do that with his current hygiene and his look, but that's what he was talking about. Like, I mean, that could actually come up. All of that could come up again. Worth putting a pin in for later, because all of that could come in into play next offseason. I feel like the morning show might have been talking about that a little bit, but I do wonder at what point did they realize that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to be a factor into what they do. Because if you go back and remember, Nick Caserio was adamant about having a plan for the we are not trading the player, which is what he said, and that we have a plan for him, and we can't wait to get him back in the building this spring and share that plan. Well, it didn't even get that far, and obviously some other things came up that factored into that as well. David Culley, when he was first hired, said, all I know is he's our quarterback, you know, and that tune had to quickly change as well. So I don't know at what point they realized that the offense was going to go from having the league's passing leader to having, you know, a career backup or a career journeyman in Tyrod Taylor, and then, you know, possibly even your actual backup being a rookie, a third-round rookie. I don't know when that happened, but I do think at some point, like, let's just take it to training camp, right, to the summer. I do think that the plan and the strategy for any type of success, then this is assuming that they wanted that they're not tanking, that they didn't want to tank themselves, that the plan was, hey, win the turnover battle, and not just win it, but you're going to actually go out there and turn the other team over. Like, your offense essentially is going to be your defense. I'm not saying that was a great plan, but it seems to have been the plan. And as far as defenses go, I do think that Lovie Smith has been a successful hire. I don't know how you could evaluate it any differently at this point.
I agree with you, man. I think that I said that in training camp. I thought the defense was probably going to be around 15th in the league, which is kind of crazy. But I just think the people they brung in, the Christian Kirksey's and, you know, the Terrence Mitchell's and people like that that played on all right teams, but they made some impact at some point. I thought with all these veterans, I thought they was going to be pretty decent, man. And they like you said, they went in a turnover battle. So that's if the offense was a bit better, I feel like the Texans probably would have at least two more wins. But the offense been so bad, and yeah, the defense can't do but so much, man.
Yeah, I think it's been a good hire. I just wish he would wear something other than that white.
So, oh,
sweatshirt.
I thought you was gonna get on the beard.
No, the beard's clean.
Oh, I was gonna say, man.
I don't like the white sweatshirt because his nipples be poking out, man. I don't like seeing that. Am I the only one who noticed that? I know y'all noticed that too, man. Can he wear a black sweatshirt, please?
Hey, look, I ain't gonna say I didn't notice it, but I will say. I was not expecting a Lovie Smith nipple reference on this show today.
Dog, did you hear the story that John Harris told? I think you're already here. I was driving in the car. John Harris did the show with Seth Payne earlier today.
Yeah.
He told a story about how he was checking out Lovie Smith. I guess he didn't realize it was Lovie Smith. He was looking at him from the back and I guess thought he was a player or something. And he was looking at him and he said, damn. And then Lovie Smith looked. I'm paraphrasing here, so forgive me if I got it wrong. Listen back on the Odyssey app. Listen to that segment of the show, but it was hilarious, man. He was I guess he didn't realize it was Lovie Smith. He was checking him out from the back and said, damn,
hey.
Lovie Smith gave him a look.
That wasn't the only questionable thing that John said this morning, because like earlier, like in the, I want to say around in the 7 o'clock hour, and I love John Harris, man, knows more about football, has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know.
Oh, definitely.
But he also mentioned, and I appreciate this, that, you know, he feels like I got a lot of potential here in the business, and is a fan of my voice, and said I could read him a bedtime story or the newspaper or something like that. That's why I said that when we came in here, Rock, when we was transitioning.
I was wondering what y'all were talking
about.
That's
what I was saying. I'm gonna have to read you the newspaper one day.
You should definitely do like audiobooks, man. I'm not gonna lie. You should do something like a Siri direction voice app thing or audiobooks, man, because you do have that crisp, clean voice.
It could be in the cars eventually, man. We'll have to see what's up with that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But look, y'all, we was talking about Texans quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills. Is there a quarterback in the draft that's worth taking? We don't know, man. Let's talk to somebody that actually knows what he's looking at and what he's looking for when evaluating these quarterbacks. That's on the other side.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
No Landry, no Lopez. Not just a Football Friday, but a Black Friday edition of In the Loop. That's right, Black Friday edition of In the Loop. Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. Got Figgy Fig in the building on a Black Friday, working on the weekend. Ryan Rocket is here with us now as well. The conversation earlier was about tanking, and I hate that we missed so many, a couple of the callers that were calling in on that. And if you called earlier on the show and wanted to talk about tanking or anything, I encourage you to call back. We want to make this interactive. We want you to be a part of the show. 713-572-4610 is the number to get in. That's how you can call the show. And you can also obviously text in the show with your thoughts. And, you know, if you got some questions about quarterbacks and about quarterback play and evaluation specifically for my man Quincy Avery, personal quarterback coach for guy who used to be your quarterback here in Houston, but not necessarily anymore, Deshaun Watson, and others out there like Justin Fields, who we didn't get a chance to see on Thanksgiving. That's another thing. Real quick, since we had him on the line talking about quarterbacks, the Bears, they ain't even had Justin Fields out there, man. They gave us Andy. And shout out to Kay. Look, if you're listening from Katie, this ain't no much love to you out there out west, okay? But come on, man. No Justin Fields. Andy Dalton, I know the schedules were made way in advance. There was no way for them to know who was going to be healthy. But I made the decision that it was not going to be a requirement for me to watch too much of Andy Dalton and Jared Goff out there playing. And then you look up, and they're just dinking and dunking their way down the field. Now, I will say, actually, Andy Dalton, for what it's worth, was not terrible. He did play okay.
I was going to say, you want to ask about that. Why was Trevor Siemian out there?
Well, I mean, they're out of options. Ooh, that's another thing. And I actually kind of want to get – I want to talk to Quincy about this, actually, just as New Orleans – I'm interested in what his thoughts are on New Orleans as a QB destination, and just generally speaking, for whoever and whichever QB might be searching and looking for a new destination. I'm interested to know – and hear from somebody with more of an expertise on how he views that opportunity in New Orleans with a team, a group that at least the past 15 years always feels a competitive team, has a quarterback guru of their own coaching the team in Sean Payton, and what the appeal of that might actually be for a quarterback looking for a new home, and if that's just a prime opportunity. Or if that's just I feel like that's the only thing that New Orleans is missing. That's the main thing. And then health, I mean, they've run into a health issues this season as well. And that was indicative last night when you didn't see Alvin Kamara or Mark Ingram, who they just traded for a bag of Skittles to the Texans to get. So I'm very interested to know.
Shout out to Mark Ingram, by the way, friend of the Jim Juice podcast. Check that interview on YouTube, Jim Juice podcast.
Hey, that was such a good get by y'all, man. I don't know if y'all realize this probably didn't get enough play at the station, and it should have, but these guys, Figgy and Rocket, landed a Mark Ingram interview, and man, I just hate that it had to be right as he was on his way out the door. But that was a hell of a get, and I feel like one of my takeaways from it was that Mark Ingram seemed to take a little bit of inspiration from y'all. Like he could, maybe one day he could aspire. Him and Cam Jordan and their podcast could aspire to run the type of program, the type of operation that y'all running, man.
I mean, that's flattering to say the least, because I mean, I'm.
I know.
But nah, that was all Figgy, man. Figgy out here hustling, getting guests on. So
yeah, it's crazy because I had him lined up when he was a Texan. It was like weeks ago before, and it kind of took a little longer than expected to come through. And then once he got traded, I'm like, damn, I don't know if he's going to hop on now because he's on a whole nother team. And, you know. But so I ended up reaching back out, and the guy I was talking to was like, "Yeah, let me reach back out to him, man." He was down to hop on, so it actually worked out pretty good.
Hey, so for the people who haven't checked it out, the people that's not up on it, man, what did y'all talk about? What's some of y'all's takeaways from Mark?
The crazy thing about that interview is apparently it was part of a rollout for the new Call of Duty game.
Yeah, that's
so
right. That's right.
The people from Call of Duty set it up, and they were like, "Okay, here's all this stuff about the game and some copy points, but you know, we cover everything on the podcast, but you know, we work at a sports station. We want to ask about the Texans and things like that. So we're kind of like in the weird area. We're like, okay, can we ask about the Texans and the Saints and whatnot, or can we just keep it to games?"
Right.
You know, but we just asked him about his time here. He mentioned how he always wanted to play for the Texans when they, you know, they had the D-Hop and Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt here. But as things kind of fell apart, you know, of course, he did what he had to do. But he was a real cool guy, man. Super funny. Check out his podcast if you ain't seen it. The dude's hilarious. Great personality. Hope we can get him again because, that was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, though I miss his energy around the team. Hated to see him go. One of the few productive players. The only productive running back that they had at the time. So that really sucked that he didn't get to stick around. Look, we got to go to break, man. Look. Real quick, before we do, it's Black Friday, man. We get a text. In other words, you only wanted to see black quarterbacks. That's basically what you're saying. No, I was looking for, who's this? 3876. No, I was looking forward to watching Derek Carr, and I was looking forward to watching Josh Allen. I just didn't want to watch no damn Andy Dalton.
Is it offensive to say?
No, that don't make me racist.
Is it offensive to say the black quarterbacks in the league are the most fun to watch? Like, Can we all admit that without...
We'll discuss that on the other side.
Okay.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Landry and Lopez taking the day off. That means that instead of your normal In the Loop, you get a Black Friday edition. So you got your boy Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. We got Figgy Fig in the building. He's the best in the world at what he do, so... He came in and support on a Black Friday. You also got my man Ryan Rocket in. They together make up the Gems and Juice podcast.
You got the Gems and Juice podcast and the B Block.
Hey,
podcast,
we got the Gems and Juice podcast and the B Block podcast all in one building, man. This is historical stuff. We had Kim Davis on the station earlier. Come to find out, she ain't never been on the station, and the station been around 20 something, almost 30 years as a sports station. I don't know what the hell that's about. I'm gonna have to talk to somebody about that, but not too loudly because. You know, I want to keep my job and stick around and everything.
I mean, you already done admitted you done go to sleep, gone to sleep at least two times during
Texas
games.
I tell you this, though. I defend like that. Hey, I tell you what. I dare anyone to challenge me on, hey, you should have stayed awake. You should have fought to sleep. For what? What did I miss of significance? And by the time I had work to do, I went back and watched the game. I got one of our coworkers logins for the NFL game.
NFL now?
Is it a Black Friday edition of In the Loop or not?
I know, man.
Are we going to be authentic or not? I said earlier to open the show that it wasn't going to be no code switching today.
Fair enough.
All right? Because we do enough of that throughout the week. All right? So this us today, baby.
Well, I'm all a right. Crab in the barrel, so I'm going to go ahead and slide through, talk to Armin, say, hey, man, y'all need another reporter? You know, I might have some time to explain what you meant.
Hey, but look, since it is a Black Friday edition of In the Loop, let's go ahead and make it even blacker.
Yes.
And go out to Larry and Stafford to see what he's talking about. So apparently, he got a bone to pick. It's going to be some crime here, if you know what I mean.
Black on black crime.
Black and Southwest at that. So what's going on, Larry? What I do to upset you, man?
Hey, man, we going to get to your Lovie Smith thing here in a minute about that being a good thing they doing, because I'm going to counter that. Right. I just have to get with Ryan when he said, is it offensive to say you enjoy watching black quarterbacks? Hell no, it ain't offensive. We all know how the swagger look, man, when them brothers out there throwing that rock, man. And, you know, no offense to the other Caucasians, man, but it's just a different game when the brothers are in charge, man. Once you put us under center, everything opens up for you, man. But, you you know, y'all can continue to have y'all Blaine Gabberts and y'all Mitchell Trubisky's and all that other stuff, man. But we like a little swagger with our meat, man. So that's all.
Hey, hey, Larry. Yeah. They was mad at me because I didn't want to watch Andy Dalton because I wanted to watch Justin Fields over Andy Dalton. Can you believe that, man?
Hey, man, if they was mad at you for that, they crazy as hell. Don't nobody want to see Lucy over there playing center, man, with that red hair, man. We was trying to see Justin Fields do his thing, man. That's what we wanted to see, man.
Straight up.
Andy Dalton could go be the Red Rocket out there in Katy or wherever he's from, man. We ain't trying to see that. But look here, a couple things, man. You know, you were saying that, you know, some of the things, the Texans do some good things or whatever with the Lovie Smith hire, and I would counter that, but them silly-ass dudes kept Tim Kelly. So we got for every action, there's a reaction. And we know that these boys are 2-8, man, and the fact that Cully over there, man, and, you know, Lovie trying to help Cully out with the defense, but it ain't going to matter, man, because we still on this same plateau that we've been on until they make a fundamental change. And when I say they, you know I'm talking about Big Cal McNair's. Until he make a fundamental change and decide that he going to walk his ass over there to Deshaun house and knock on that door and get this resolved, they, everybody think that this thing is just going to be over once they trade Deshaun. Then you're going to have to go through 5, 6, 7 Cleveland Brown years just to get to the point where you even want to watch football, because there's going to be some quarterbacks that's going to come out and we're going to draft and they're going to stink it up, man. So I ain't trying to hear all that. But back to Black Friday, man, look, you boys are wondering why Kim Davis hadn't been on the air. I could tell you, but y'all don't really want me to tell you why.
Don't give us some trouble, baby.
I ain't
going
to get y'all in no trouble. It was just great to hear Kim on there, man, because she's been out there on the grind for a long time, and I love hearing her perspective on things, especially when she knows what she's talking about. Fellas, it's always good to hear my boys on. And Figgy, come on, dog. I'm finna go to Starbucks. You know what to send me when I go get that drink in our hall.
Don't get that pumpkin spice, man.
Man, hey, look. The pumpkin spice. Look, Larry brought up another good point about the years going, having to go through a bunch of Cleveland Brown years. And, you know, that's not a shot at Cleveland, but people forget. I don't know, dude. Do people forget?
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What it was like all them years before Deshaun and all of them swings and misses, the, let's call it 2014 to 2014, 2015, 2016, and having to go through, like, basically the story of DeAndre Hopkins' career before Deshaun was that revolving door and what that was like. That was extremely rough.
It was rough, but it wasn't Cleveland Browns rough, because at least the Houston Texans had a great defense. You had J.J. Watt. They was pretty much carrying this team overall. And then you had the DeAndre Hopkins. The Browns never had a DeAndre Hopkins type of player. They never had a J.J. Watt type of player. They were just making bad picks, man. All the players they picked, probably not even in the league, or probably, you know, non-starters. So, you know, it do sound bad because you didn't have a quarterback, but it's better than being the Cleveland Browns, man.
Yeah, man. I think that time was a lot more hopeful as a Texans fan and somebody who watched the Texans, because you knew they were just a quarterback away, to where you watch them right now and it's like, okay, they're everything away just about. You know, so
hell, they had the quarterback last year and they was trapped.
Fair. So, yeah, man, it's it felt a lot more hopeful even during those down times because we knew we had a good squad. We just needed a better quarterback. And now it's the fan base especially is just wondering, where do you start? You know, can we even trust the people who are in charge to make these decisions right now? And that feels a lot more hopeless as a from the perspective of somebody watching the team and as a fan.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I'm that's kind of where I'm at is like, you know, going back to this conversation of Tyrod Taylor and versus Davis Mills, you know, and I saw my guy Aaron Reeves at the Athletic, who I appreciate his work. You know, love being in the press conference with him, asking questions, and after the press conferences, we powwow and talk about the answers that we got, and everything, you know, but. He is also on this evaluate Davis Mills, figure out what you have in him so you can figure out if you need to draft a quarterback next year. And like, and part of his point, part of the premise too, is that you do have enough sample size, enough body of work with Tyrod Taylor to know what kind of quarterback he is. And I think that you can, without over or understating what Tyrod Taylor is, say he is about a middle of the pack type of quarterback, not elite, not trash. I would take some exception to a segment that In the Loop did several months back, where the mental exercise, the intellectual exercise, found that Tyrod Taylor was the worst starting quarterback in all of the NFL.
Wow.
And I don't think that looks too good today, and would take exception to it. But I think that it is fair to say that whether he is the worst or the 15th best, it ain't going to get you to where you need to go. But better than what your option is in a third round rookie in Davis Mills. So that's where I'm at.
I have a random question for you, man. Knowing how, cause you brought up Deshaun Watson earlier today, knowing how just when you're in there asking questions, how difficult was it for you to ask? I mean, this is when we expected daily or weekly Deshaun updates. How difficult was it for you to ask a question knowing you were going to get the, we're just going to take it day by day? Like, would you ever form the question? This is just something I randomly thought about, man. But did you ever think about forming the question in a way where you wouldn't get that answer? And was it even possible?
Yeah, so there are two different schools of thought in question asking when it comes to something that's as topical as that. And I think that, so particularly with Deshaun Watson, there were certain questions where you knew you weren't going to get an answer that was satisfactory, but you have to ask it for the record. So, like, just as part of an act of journalism, and we kind of dabble in the radio business now, especially in the 21st century media, we kind of are dabbling in both feet, a foot in the both ends of entertainment and journalism, so to speak. But from a journalistic standpoint, some questions that on the outside or when you hear, you're like, why would they ask that? Why would they not going to answer that? Why are you wasting time with that question? Why are you asking that? Because it has to be asked for the record. They can lie. They can no comment it. They can sideswipe the question. Nick Caserio, the Texans general manager now, is the best at this, of being asked a direct question and not necessarily giving you a direct answer. And and he's free to do that. Like, that's, just as we're free to ask the question, he is free to answer it the way he wants. And I don't necessarily, you know, overall have it, like, I would prefer to get a better answer, but I don't have a problem with that. You know, so that's part of it. But then also, you want to kind of, to the point and to the question that you're asking, you want your question to elicit a good answer. Because we are, the mindset I just gave you a minute ago is just straight journalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are specifically in the audio business here in radio, right? So it ain't just about asking a question for the record. It's also about getting a sound bite or getting something that we can therefore.
Sometimes they don't answer the question, and that's the answer right there.
Yeah.
Like, if I say, what do you feel about Deshaun Watson? If you say no comment, even though that's not the answer we was looking for, he gave us an answer that we can talk about. We can talk about why he say no comment and all this other stuff.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating, too, when you get into the thick of it, asking questions. I can remember last year I asked J.J. Watt a question that was just an eye question, but he misunderstood the question and heard in his mind the question that he thought I was going to ask. At this point, we, you know each other. the question that he thought I was asking, or maybe even the question that he wanted to answer. And it ended up being a much better answer or a much better soundbite than the little
kind of anticipated.
Yeah. Or if I'm just being honest and self-critical, the question that I asked him wasn't that great of a question. It was just an all right question.
Yeah.
And was going to get an all right answer if he gave it to me. But he gave me the answer to the question that he basically wanted me to ask. And I'll never forget that, because after the fact, it was made to be a big deal too. Because after the fact, he went back and reached out to all of the media to clarify why he said what he said, because if you go back and look at the transcript, the answer does not align with what he was asked. So it's always an interesting kind of back and forth, tit for tat, of what goes on there. But speaking of questions, on this Black Friday edition of In the Loop, we got Lamont on the line, and I believe he wants to talk Texas. Lamont, talk to me, man.
Say, man, first of all, one thing I have to say about the Texans is, man, and I know that they do what they got to do, because and what a lot of people forget about this, at the end of the day, the Texans are a business. It's about making money. It's about generating revenue. It's about generating a profit. But I think if they were just to come out and just tell us, tell us what it is, and this kind of points to the point that you guys are talking about, you know, that everybody is skirting around questions. Nobody don't want to come out and say it's a rebuild. We all listen to you guys on the radio. We all, us fans talk about it on Twitter and all that. We say it's a rebuild, but nobody want to talk about that. And this is just not a Texas issue. It's around the league issue, because they can't just put out there that it's a, you know, it's a rebuild, and we just try to do things different. So we left with speculation. But I truly feel, man, if a team, let me go to the Astros. I can remember back when the Astros was losing 100 games a year. Everybody was clowning them. Nobody was telling them that they had a grand plan. But after the Astros started winning and stuff, you know, everybody looked back into those 3 years that they was losing 100 games. It's like, oh, they brilliant. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, it would have been a little bit more palatable if you could have just told us back then what the plan was. But now, it is kind of frustrating because I'm one of those Texas fans. One, I mean, I'm beyond Deshaun Watson. I actually think I think they should build around Taylor. That's me. That's just my own opinion. Two, this is the third. 2-win team that I haven't seen, the Texans may win 3 or 4 more, 1 or 2 more games, put them up that or four, but
yeah, they got a chance this weekend, Lamar. Don't count them out.
In other words, back in 2005 when they lost 2 games, and back in 2013 when they lost 2,000 games, them teams didn't look like them teams actually look like they had something, and all they needed to do was have a competent coach out there coach them. This team right here, this team actually looks like what they look like. Mean. They actually look sorry, man. And I guess it kind of frustrates me. It kind of frustrates me, man, because everybody is talking around circles. And I find myself getting mad at the media, man, because y'all got to frame y'all questions and do all of this type of stuff, just to get some solid answers, man. I just want some solid answers. And not only that, man, I want this Texas team to look like a team that, and the defense is looking like that right now. Not so much the offense, but I just want them to look like they give a damn, man. And I'm gonna say my one last thing: Cully is not the answer, and I wish D'Amico Ryans get in here as a head coach. That's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the last part he said there about Cully is how a lot of people feel. Even those who like Cully and are rooting for him to succeed, he just hasn't really shown you anything that indicates that was the way to go, or that's part of the future. Now, who was it? We had a caller earlier that mentioned as well that even at the time of the hire, it was like, okay, this feels like a placeholder type of hire, not really a serious hire. It felt like they were punting on the season or punting on just this part of the process. especially when you consider who all was out there that they interviewed. They interviewed Jim Caldwell, who's got pedigree, Coach Peyton Manning. They interviewed Leslie Frazier, got pedigree.
Coaching a real good defense.
Coaching a real good defense in Buffalo. Played on the 85 Bears, won a Super Bowl as a player. You know, things didn't necessarily work out great when he was a head coach with the Vikings. But, you know, it's black head coaches as retreads, not necessarily a thing, you know. And so, you know, there was a concern about that. And then, of course, the lightning rod was Eric Bieniemy. Well, how come he didn't get more of a look? I feel like that this was, you know, this was them like handpicking who they thought. I know manipulate has been the word that's being used, but maybe they would prefer mold. You can use manipulate if you want, but they wanted someone that they felt like they could have more of an influence on and wouldn't be as much of an independent voice. It seems that's the way that that's the way it comes off.
Yeah.
That you would get somebody that was sort of just, you know, happy to be here. But yeah, let's take a break, man. We'll get into a little bit more of this. We got Texans and Jets coming up on the weekend. Got a big college football slate. The Rockets play tomorrow night. They got their second win of the season after losing 15 straight. Mm. You talked about Steven Silas and how that's a struggle as well as far as the rebuild for the Rockets. So we'll get into a little bit more of that on the other side. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.